Soaked in sweat, his head lays on a hard mattress, his whole body is wet. He owes his life to the streets and they're coming to collect his debt. But Steve isn't dead yet. For days, Steve sits in a cell, wondering why the world wants him to fail. Color of his skin put him on a path destined to rot in jail. His DNA gave him a melanated pigment of skin. A true gift until he realizes it's harder for him to win. Black skin is a blessing and a curse. The potential to be the greatest athlete or dead at 16 in a hearse. He writes his feelings in a notebook pad, thinking of the life he could have had. Writing film scenes and scripts. He wanted to direct movies and cut clips. Now he's in state detention taking pictures and fingerprints. He doesn't want to go to prison, where power dynamics make young boys strip. He clutches his journal with a tight grip. His whole body shakes down to the quiver of his lip. With each page flip, his story intensifies. The pool of sweat beneath him grows larger with each drip. He has to persevere. He must ride out the ship. From this day on, his shoulder will always have a chip. Imaginary fears turn into real waterfalls of tears. A guilty conviction means he'll never find his true career. He tries hard to catch his breath. The state says he's an accomplice to Nesbitt's death. On a cool day, law-abiding citizens turn into uptown menaces. Osvaldo is a Diablo, and no room for introduction. He's immediately become Steve's arch-nemesis. The police hunted him down. The looks in their eyes were venomous. King and Moe were there, but they don't care. A plea deal has already shortened their sentences. He's from the city of New York. No silver spoons. Now he eats jail food with a plastic fork. Black boys turn into native sons. Harlem B-ballers turn into niggas with guns. He's been a black man since he was 10. An accelerated childhood robs one of their empathy again. Richard Wright used a pen, but Stephen King wrote their story with a Mac 10. It was an armed robbery of the corner store. Deprived black men in Harlem will do anything to get some more. Steve was on the lookout. Gave them the signal when he walked through the door. Two of them pushed up to the counter and demanded everything in the drawer. They gave Nesbitt 5 seconds to move, but his life was over in 4. 60 years later, the squeeze of a trigger has them in the same place as bigger, forced to be the bigger man in the society that haunts them. Monsters become real, making bodies fall like autumn. What's the difference between prosecution and persecution? Which education is more valuable, run from the streets or one that comes with a tuition? He should be in school taking his finals, but instead, his last test is a first-degree murder trial. Petroselli argued for the state, another cog in the wheel that doesn't want us to be great. Neutral faces and expressions hide ideologies of hate. Petroselli reels him in with the bait. Sessions, motions, witnesses, and breaks. Now Steve must wait for a jury opposite of his peers to decide his fate. He's described as compassionate, talented, and bright. But none of that matters in the jury's eyesight. If he's convicted, he may never see the light. Of being who he's meant to be. Lawyers tell him to take a plea, but he wants to let the truth set him free. They come with a decision. He gasps. Finally, he can go home. He's not guilty.